This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. We welcome you in midweek, Wednesday, June 19. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. We'll get to him coming up in just a second. We've got a big show coming up for you today. We called an emergency with the group. Aaron Halterman's going to join us in 45 minutes. We've got to talk about the Stanley Cup Final, which is starting to hinge upon crazy. So we'll get to Halterman coming up in just a little bit. Mike Palm is back for Palm versus the big guy. Brad Feinberg is coming on the show, and he's going to hand out some winners. Scott Spritzer back from Disneyland with the family. Professional handicapper, professional bettor, going to join us in the third hour. We welcome you in, and Dustin will bring you in right away, because out there hanging in the distance is the likes we've never seen, one of the biggest L's a sports talk, sports betting host will ever take. Now, remember, before the Dallas Stars series started, I said people are jumping on Edmonton and the futures market because of Connor McDavid and Mr. Draisaitl, right? And I said, you can't bet that way. You can't just say, I think McDavid's the best player on the planet. And of course, goes on to beat the Dallas Stars. But I said, no. As a lifetime fan of the Florida Panthers and a team that I always believe in, the Cats, I said, there's no chance. This series price is too short. There is no freaking way that McDavid is going to beat this well-rounded Panthers team. And it started off just like I said, right? 3-0. Go up 3-0. You're flying, you're just perfect, right? In perfect position to bring the cup back to Florida where it belongs, Dustin Sweetelson. And then, you know, Saturday was a little rough. Outbreak of goals, 8-1. Yeah, you kind of hang that just like the Boston Celtics. Friday night in Dallas, maybe human nature kicked in. Looking ahead, want to hoist the cup at home. That's cool. And then last night hits, and well, the Edmonton Oilers start with a shorthanded goal, and Connor McDavid did what he does. So, again, this could be, and I'll eat it, and I'll admit it, but this could be the biggest L of all time. Because if you're backing the Oilers because they have the best player on the planet and one of the greats, you just might end up winning this series, and I'm going to look like an idiot, but not so fast, my friends. 5-3 last night, of course. $162 close with the Panthers, well over that 5.5. There's so much to unpack here, and it starts with Connor McDavid as he's dragged his Edmonton Oilers back to Edmonton and the Panthers back to Alberta. And the Edmonton Oilers star continued one of the most dominant playoff performances in NHL history. So he tacked on 2 goals and 2 assists last night, big guy, in the 5-3 win in Game 5 to close the series 3-2. A couple of things. One, McDavid, 42 points in the postseason. He's flirting with Wayne Gretzky for most points in a postseason, which is 47. So he's 5 points back. Now, when it comes to Gretzky and records, you always have to provide context because his are mind-blowing. So I will say this. 42 points for McDavid in 23 games. 47 points in 1985 in 18 games for Wayne Gretzky, just to give you an idea of the dominance. But what's crazy is we've now got a series price, I believe it's 330 on the Panthers, coming back the other way, plus 250 or a little more than that on the Panthers. And Connor McDavid, Dustin Sweetelson, is now a minus 150 for the Conn Smythe. And again, hanging off in the distance, likes we've never seen, potentially one of the biggest L's of all time. Welcome.
Connor McDavid has moved in about the last hour or so here, not just on the ice like he was moving last night, so nimbly and gracefully setting up his teammates, but he's now minus 175 to win the Conn Smythe, which is a fascinating conversation because this team is still facing elimination going into Game 6. They have to do more than Florida has to do, yet Connor McDavid at a price at minus 175 leads me to believe that even if Edmonton loses, he has the potential to win this award here.
Yeah, you nailed it. And so for full background here, I want to give a shout to my guy Vince, who is a VSiN pro. Remember, I told you about Vince. I was walking by the beach. He stopped. He was listening to the big guy. He was listening to Samich and your boy. And we sparked up a friendship. So I walked down second period down to the pier here in Hermosa Beach, met up with, had a great time, got lost in the conversation. We're watching the game, but I had to wake up this morning and kind of go through and watch the YouTube of this game. And you said it perfectly. He could lose the series and still win the Conn Smythe. McDavid yesterday showed you why people, including Gretzky, have said, you know, with that size and speed, I don't know if we've seen anything like this in the sport. And we keep on coming back to the assist where he was just dancing through the Panthers and just the marvelous assist, almost reminiscent of the goal he had against Dallas. He does things on the ice that nobody else can do. And Draisaitl is transcendent as well, but McDavid is just, he's on another planet. It's minus 330 on the Panthers right now for the series, plus 275 big guy on the Oilers.
On that play where he sets up that goal, he legitimately looked like when a 12-year-old is somehow playing with a bunch of 9-year-olds, like in a youth rink. That's what it looked like. There was another level that he's supposed to be at that the rest of the people on the ice aren't ready for. That's how quick he moved, how quick everything set up for him. I mean, how explosive he was, and the selflessness. Like, that's another thing. He's a superstar who makes other people better, and to me, that's like the next step for a superstar. You can call your own number and score goals. That's great, but the great ones make everyone else better, and Connor McDavid does that. But my question, I guess, to circle back on you having to take an L here, I think part of your confidence in your Florida Panthers was, I don't know, you thought you had a massive edge in goal? Where is Bobrovsky? What's going on? His confidence is shook, and can he somehow get it back?
Yeah, I was shipping Bob to the Hall of Fame through three games, and we may want to pump the skates on that a little bit, big guy. Bobrovsky,
he's shaking.
Certainly. He shook, and he's not helping your boy with that L that's hanging out in the distance, but Bobrovsky is shook right now. Now, again, one of the things about this Panthers team, I've always told you, is the mental fortitude, is the metal. So we shall see Friday night, just quickly an update on the number Friday night. The Oilers are going to be minus 125 favorites coming back the other way with the Florida Panthers. Need I remind you that this is exactly where the Panthers want to be? Earlier in the postseason, they were down 2-1 to the Rangers, came back and won. And again, this is the best team along with Dallas on the road in the NHL this year. So going to Edmonton is not going to shake them. And by the way, big guy, I should remind you when we're talking about metal and mental fortitude, this is the same Panthers team that was down 3-1 to the Boston Bruins last year in the postseason. You remember the Bruins, President's Trophy, best regular season we had ever seen, and came back in 1-7. So while that L is hanging off in the distance, you know, ominously, I'm not going to eat it yet because I still have the utmost confidence in my Florida Panthers. Now, whether or not they get it done in game six, that is yet to be determined, and we'll have to wait for Friday night. But it's tight booty time, no doubt.
A couple notes real quick to preview Friday night. Eddie Olczyk going to be on the program with us.
Oh, Eddie's the best. I love
preview
Eddie.
The game. He was going to join today, but he's traveling. Apparently, by the way, 12 hours of travel. I was texted from someone in the media who has to be a part of this from South Florida to Edmonton for them today. Everyone's on the road. But I want to play a clip for you because Paul Maurice, the head coach of your Florida Panthers.
Thank you. Thank
Let's
you.
Hear what he believes their mindset is right now. And if you think he's shook, here he is.
Paul, it's if you go by home ice, it's supposed to be 3-2. I know it's not what you wanted, but it's supposed to be 3-2. Is that going to be somewhat, I don't know, definitely not comfort, but yeah, it's supposed to be hard.
I'm not rubbing backs. I don't think we need that at all. Everybody feels probably exactly the way I do right now. So there's I'm not feeling deflated. Neither is the hockey team. They're not feeling deflated. A little grumpy.
I love Paul Maurice.
He's
Paul
a legend.
Maurice has been he's been around forever. But okay, I'm going to go to the bullpen. Can we get Joey Maz? Can Missoula coach hockey? Because we need my guy.
Uplift the spirits. Be a little more positive. Motivate your players. But look, what I'd say is he's like, this is business. This is what happens in this. We're going to go take care of our business.
Yeah, look, let's have a sobering moment here. This is fascinating because the McDavid, again, you don't touch the cup until you've won it. And McDavid said that. I mean, he is dialed in right now. That assist is one of the craziest. You said dancing between the Panthers, almost like playing with them like children. That assist, the goal against Dallas, the points, 42 through 23 games, I mean, we are watching and witnessing greatness along the likes of a LeBron James, to go cross sport and modernity. He's fascinating, and it is the better team in the Panthers, up 3-2, but the best player of his generation in Connor McDavid. So it's going to be fascinating. That's all I can say. Look, am I confident? Of course. Ride or die Cats.
What?
Am I confident? Of course not. Connor McDavid.
Yeah. What I'd say is history is on your side. But what I'd also is history was on your side last night, and the Oilers became the first team in NHL history to win Game 5 on the road after being down 3-0 in a series, in a championship series, and the fourth of those teams to force a Game 6 after losing the first three of the contest in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, if I were being negative, they just didn't win Game 5 on the road. They dominated Game 5 on the road. But that's only if I'm being negative.
Yeah, for sure. So, win by an inch, win by a mile, same thing.
Yeah, we'll have Eddie O on later in the week, but today there was only one answer. We got to get the boys in here. Aaron Halterman with an emergency hit coming up in about a half hour. Mr. Hockey, you know, the plus money prince. I'm going to have him calm my nerves a little bit as a Cats backer. Now, as you know, I'm a Panthers fan. I'm also a Pistons fan. Makes sense. We're going to come back with some news NBA-wise next. Here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSiN.com. It's all you're going to need for your betting needs. Bookmark it. It's brand new. It's great on the mobile as well. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, betting tools, and betting guides. Check out VSiN.com. Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you back. So, yeah, I mean, it's starting to get interesting. Stanley Cup Final. We got some juice, and Game 6 is coming up in Edmonton. That barn is going to be ridiculous. As Dustin said, first time game winner, Game 5 on the road, coming back for a Game 6. So that is, Alberta is going to be shaking coming up on Friday night. $1.25 on the Edmonton Oilers, plus 105, 5.5, as is consistent. DraftKings has it 110 up and down. So not much different there. Now, the series itself, if you take a look, and just taking a look at the futures, we had it up there. It's interesting with McDavid and the Conn Smythe. We'll get to that and the ramifications, as Dustin mentioned, up to 175. The Panthers minus 330 and the Edmonton Oilers plus 275. So getting interesting. And again, likes we've never seen. The L that I could be eating by saying, you donks, you can't just bet the Oilers because you know Connor McDavid. Last two games may have proven me wrong, but we're not dead yet, big guy. Now, we do have a few more pieces of sound I want to play because I'm trying to understand the confidence level on both the Panthers and Oilers side. And I think we should start with Mr. McDavid, or as he's known in Edmonton, McJesus. What do we got here?
Yeah, look, he's joining the likes of Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky when it comes to records at this point. So he's reaching that immortal status already early in his career. And they talked with him about that and the run he's been on after the game last night.
Connor, I know that you're not chasing individual records, but you have now more than 40 points. Only two guys in the NHL were able to do that, Wayne and Mario. In a certain way, is it a little bit special for you?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I I seem to be getting this question a lot, which is a good thing. You know, anytime you're compared or in the same realm as those two, it's always a good thing, you know. But, you know, I love playing in the playoffs. I love playing with this group. And it's not possible without everybody, you know, as High has alluded to. So it's been a fun ride. We're glad it's going to go one more day. But that's all we've earned here is another day, another flight. And we'll be ready to go in Edmonton on Friday.
All right, I'm terrified.
Yeah, you should be. That's the whole time he's speaking. You should be scared.
Zero personality. No swag, no juice. It's just like the Killers always have. He's just like, I have to answer your question. I'm not really concerned with it. I'm looking to go add 2 G's and 2 A's in game 6.
He literally sounded like a sniper being told he just set the record for most kills in military history, in the history of the world. And he's like, yeah, it's whatever. We just got to do our business.
Yeah, he just got his orders. And he's fine with them.
Just following them. My orders are to make everyone better and win.
Not great.
It was not encouraging. Let's hear from the head coach, Chris Knobloch, who, look, first time in this situation. Everything's a first time for him. He took over during the season. And he discussed with the media last night about them fighting back after being down 0-3 in the series.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys counted us out. I think, like you said, through this. We've been counted out a lot through the playoffs, regular season, whatever. But it doesn't faze the group in there. They've got a lot of belief and just enjoying every extra day because we were counted out a long time ago and we're still here playing hockey in June and have the opportunity. We are going back to Edmonton for game 6 and there's a lot to smile about.
Can that dude go back to filing taxes or working at State Farm or whatever it looks like he should be doing? I mean, he looks like an accountant. He had never coached in the NHL before. Can you get the hell out? It's starting to get frustrating.
Yeah.
The L I'm going to eat is going to be wild. I didn't eat an L with the Celtics because I said, you know, that is obviously a championship team with championship medal. Mm. We knew that was coming. Edmonton a little different.
We also talk about the role that going back to Edmonton plays in this, and I'm not talking about just the arena and how loud it's going to be on Friday, but Florida was at home in beautiful, beautiful South Beach, getting ready, like, mentally. I'm sure people were texting, hey, if you win tonight, where are we partying? Hey, if you win tonight, when's the parade? Hey, if you win tonight, can you make sure you get me in on your list at the club? Like, they were this close to thinking that they were going to celebrate at home in their own beds. And now, as I mentioned earlier, they've got to travel 12 hours all the way back to Edmonton.
And Halterman's going to join an emergency spot, big guy, with the group. You know, the boys are buzzing. Mm. Here is the reason that you may... Now, most people think I'm always doing shtick or being sarcastic. Here are my concerns. Now, I still think the Panthers are going to win, but a couple of reasons I'm concerned. One, McDavid is officially awake. It's obvious. Two, I thought game 4 was an aberration when they dropped 8, but yesterday they start with a shorty and go on to dominate the game. Okay? And then number 3, Bob. We've got a shook goaltender. All of a sudden, Grant Fuhr is Stuart Skinner, and Bobrovsky is out here falling all over himself and giving up cheapies. All right? It's not great. And you mentioned the barn was buzzing yesterday in Florida. They were ready to celebrate on home ice, and it got quiet real quick.
Also, for Conn Smythe...
Real effing quick.
For Conn Smythe purposes... Bob's up to plus 750, and he cannot win the award. He cannot win this. I don't care if the Panthers win. Bobrovsky will not be the Conn Smythe winner, which opens up a world of possibilities for the Panthers. Is it Barkov who's plus 280? Is it Tkachuk who made that awesome hustle play late? It ended up not mattering to stop an empty net goal from going in at 30-1. What about Rodriguez who's 300-1 who feels like he's in the mix at times? There's so many options now because Bob's out of the mix. However, all of it doesn't matter if the Oilers win because then McDavid at minus 175 ends up being your Conn Smythe winner.
I think, you know what, and you said it this morning, and I totally agree with you. I think Barkov at 2.5-1 is a pretty good price. He has been the best Panther.
Yeah.
If they do win it, interesting.
And you have to project. So the projection would be, well, Bob's a little bit leaky, some more goals, which means the offense for Florida has to step back up. Who's going to make that happen? It's Barkov. They're going to turn to him. He's their best player. That's where the scenario plays out. Let's hear from one more member of the Oilers. Because right now, they're fighting back for game six here. Zach Hyman discussed being in this position going back home.
It's just human nature. I think that's the beauty of sports, is it's never over until it's over. And, I mean, everybody on the outside can think it's over, but the guys in this locker room, we just believe. We believe since we were, you know, second to last in November. And now we're here. We're two games away. We got a chance, an amazing opportunity to go back home and send it to seven. So that's where we're at. I mean, it's been a crazy story this whole year. Yeah. So we got to continue to write it. And it doesn't make for a good story unless you finish it.
Yeah, but and you said that Bob is leaky, so you're being kind. He's floody. He is flooding right now. Epic proportions. And it's the one position in sports where the yips, when they come fast. Where you start to doubt yourself, you give up a cheapie, and then all of a sudden, it's a downhill. It's just, right now, it's not great. So
It's not good when you're wearing a mask and all those pads, and I can see with my eyeball you lack confidence at shots coming your way. The body language yes. is bad. The body yeah. language is bad.
And you, as obvious, yeah. a hockey aficionado, when you can pick it up with
yeah,
the bare
yeah,
eye,
yeah.
you know it's not great. And again, we're going to have the emergency with the plus money prince, Aaron Halterman. He knows his hockey. I'm hoping he comes in and he has that kind of calming influence. And we'll have, of course, Samich on before game six coming up on Friday. I'm hoping he's able to calm us down a little bit here. But I will say this. The group got very quiet.
Very quiet.
Once we're in, generally, we would keep the confidence going when the text just slowly started to fade because we couldn't even do positive shtick anymore. It was a bad look.
Well, it's hard to say got him right where we want him when you're down that big early. It's really hard to say that. Also, did Zalman send a text last night? Was he even in the mix?
He's comatose. McDavid has got him in a coma. And again, you know, you're down 2-0, and that's where the Halterman piece is tough on us as well, because he's always laying the puck and a half.
Yeah.
So we're grasping at a straight-up winner. We're not covering a puck and a half.
No. That's the worst part. Even he's like, it's about pride at that point. Late in the game, he's rooting for them just to find a way to go to overtime. He can't win his bet. He just wants to make sure his Panthers win.
Yeah, it is. It's about pride. So, Halterman in 20 minutes. When we come back, I have to discuss a man that took over my Pistons and showed no pride, showed no gumption, showed nothing except that he knows how to secure the bag. We're back. Sharp Money on a Wednesday.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro. You get a month for free. 13 months right now for $199. Generally 12 for $240. So saving money and getting a free month, you get everything. The picks, the splits, the guides, everything we offer, including we've got on the 27th our NFL guide coming out. So become a pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. And the promo code to unlock the deal is SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. We got you back here, Sharp Money. Of course, DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Dustin Sweetelson, Mr. Hockey, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. So we'll get back to the hockey coming up in about 12 minutes with Aaron Halterman, emergency spot with the plus money prince to kind of calm the waters a little bit, as it's now 3-2 with the Panthers leading in the Stanley Cup final. There's a great market over at DraftKings, kind of a clever market on where will these guys land next as far as the NBA. Yes, I know it ended yesterday, but a couple of things here. One, Paul George, LeBron James and Klay Thompson. There's a market you can bet on their next destination over at DraftKings. More news, and that is Pascal Siakam is going to re-up with the Indiana Pacers. So good news for Pacers fans there with Siakam re-upping. But this right now, big guy, this is a Tom Gores appreciation segment. Now, you may not know who Tom Gores is, nor do I expect you to. He's a big-time businessman here in Los Angeles, but he's originally from the great state of Michigan. And when the Davidsons were looking to sell the Detroit Pistons, Gores swooped in and bought his boyhood team, the Detroit Pistons. And why this is an appreciation? Because Tom Gores is paying Monty Williams $65 million to go away. Now, let me just repeat what I'm saying here. Monty Williams, who walked in last year and signed a record head coaching deal with the Detroit Pistons, he walked in with a ski mask and stole $65 million to go away. So he had 5 years left on his deal. Now, if you watched the Pistons at all this past year, and there was really no reason to do so, but if you follow them like I do, look, Monty Williams essentially took the money for the cash. He had no vigor for the job. He had no interest in becoming the Detroit Pistons head coach, and that's on him. The rotations were a disaster. The lineups were a disaster. He started for most of the season Killian Hayes over Jaden Ivey. If you have eyeballs, you know, Killian Hayes ain't it. And Jaden Ivey's got some potential, so you might as well throw him in the backcourt with Cade Cunningham and start to build this team. You're not going to win anything anyway, so what are you doing? I was about to swear. What are you doing with Killian Hayes? That project is over. He's not even on the Pistons anymore. So, again, I know he's a great guy, and that is Monty Williams. The only question I have is, should he be arrested? I mean, like, what he did as a head coach. And by the way, another Michigan guy, a Michigan State guy, and a Michigander, Matt Ishbia. Think about what I'm about to tell you. Matt Ishbia, when he took over the Suns, Dustin, gave Monty Williams $20 million to go away. They got rid of him. And he said, no, we don't want you. Here's $20 million. So, in summation, Monty Williams has made 85. That's not counting what he's made as a head coach. That's not counting the $20 million he made last year with the Pistons. He has been paid $85 million to not coach teams. That's impressive. That's beyond impressive. And there are conversations, you know, with J.J. Redick looming here in Los Angeles to become the next Los Angeles Laker head coach. People are wondering, you know, is Monty Williams in line? May I ask a question? I understand he had a good year in Phoenix and won Coach of the Year. Why the hell, after you saw the lack of decorum and professionalism that he just showed the city of Detroit, why would you hire him to be your next head coach? And again, I know he's the greatest guy ever. I get it. He's gone through a lot in life. You can Google it. There's some horrible stories associated. He's a God-fearing man, and he's wonderful. But he's a disaster as a head coach. And if you watched one Pistons game with those lineups, those rotations, and freaking Killian Hayes, you know. But comes back to the Gores appreciation. Not many owners across the four majors, big guy, are going to eat $65 million to get it right. Now, remember, Trajan Langdon is the president of ops now for the Detroit Pistons. You know, the old dookie from Alaska? He's running the Pistons. He got there. He got rid of the worst general manager in the association in Troy Weaver, and now he's going to have a chance to hire a head coach to start a new era with Cade Cunningham and Trajan Langdon running the show there. But Tom Gores, congratulations. Eating $65 million. That ain't small.
Isn't it also their fault, though? It's also partially their fault. They said, Monty Williams, you want to be the next coach of the Pistons? He said, no, guys, I'm good. They said, no, trust us. We really want you to be the next head coach of the Pistons, yeah. And we're going to show you financially. And really, in the end, Monty Williams, it was like a free play on a sports book. He couldn't lose because if he succeeded, cool, I get to be a great head coach again. If he fails, well, the American dream is to be a fired head coach in America. You get paid out to not do the job. Sign me up for that every single time. Let me not work and collect the full paycheck. But what Monty Williams did
Trust me, this comparison makes sense, Patrick. You haven't seen the movie, I guarantee it, but it's Office Space. And in Office Space, it's in the 90s. It's like 30 years old.
I've seen it.
Okay. Essentially, the guy, the main character, wants to be fired from his job and just stops working but shows up. Monty Williams didn't do the job he was being paid to do until finally the Detroit Pistons reached a breaking point and said, it's time to move on because you're doing nothing. He eventually got caught, and now he gets to benefit in the end because they, in the end, convinced him to come out and coach this team. So while Monty Williams is at blame to not being for not being a good head coach, the Pistons are also to blame because he told them the entire time, hey, I'm good. I don't want to do this. And you paid him a lot of money to do it poorly.
Yeah, George did that in Seinfeld as well.
Yes.
He just kept showing up.
Yeah, just show up.
That's a reference I do know. I don't know if Monty Williams is a good – well, the track record in Detroit tells me he's not a great basketball coach, and getting booted from Phoenix for no. 20 mil tells me he's not great. But I do know he'd be great dating because he plays hard to get and he wins.
He does. Top five highest paid coach, and we look at the other people being paid comparatively to him. It's like Steve Kerr, Popovich, all these guys with rings, if not multiple rings. And he somehow gets the Pistons, who are desperate to go in the right direction here with this new group, to make him one of the highest paid coaches in the league. That's crazy.
Yeah, the Pistons were like, you don't want to coach us? Oh, we'll give you $85 million. He's like, all right, fine.
Desperation.
Twist my arm.
It's ugly.
All right, I'll do it. And then he came in with that energy, and now he's gone after a year. All right, so Tom Gora's appreciation. Not many owners are going to eat $65 million. Let's get to the odds on Klay Thompson, and you can find these up at DraftKings. So where will the Hall of Famer? It almost would seem so odd to not see him as a Warrior.
Yeah.
And you see the odds. So plus 130 on the Magic, plus 130 on the Warriors as your betting favorites. Klay Thompson potentially to the Lakers is 10-1. The Magic makes so much sense because the one thing they were missing is outside shooting and a veteran presence. They're a young team that can't shoot the basketball. So just from a pragmatic perspective, Klay Thompson to the Magic, big guy, makes a ton of sense.
Look, I know he's your friend. You guys hung out that one time, 6 yeah. in the morning in Manhattan Beach. I don't know what this dude's got left. Like, I don't know how much pulp you're squeezing out here versus the juice. He can't move with the basketball. He can't move up and down the floor. He's no longer the defender he used to be. He's certainly not a $40 million player, which he was a year ago. It all depends on the price. What is the market? What's out there for him financially?
I think he wants the max.
If one of these teams gives him the max, they deserve what they get in the end. Because you
no, I agree. And he's not the two. The postseason showed you. He's just not the two-way player he used to be. You're 100% right.
But if you want Klay Thompson to come in and be your Steve Novak, you want him to be your Kyle Korver and just stand in that corner and knock down trays all day, I love that for the right price. Pay him $10 million, $15 million at the most, and walk away. But he's not a $25, $30, $40 million guy anymore. He's just not that dude.
No, you're 100% right. Who's next over at DraftKings on the next team odds?
All right, the other one, this is another fascinating guy because he's going to go to a contender. And he's going to get a lot of money, and that's Paul George. And
overrated.
That's fair. I don't disagree with that. But there are desperate teams looking for a wing in today's positionless basketball, a guy who can shoot from the outside, who can defend multiple positions. He's going to have a spot. The Magic are a team I've heard a lot for him. But you have a bunch of young, hungry rookies. Is a guy who's never won anything, the guy that's going to get you over the top there. The Thunder are an option at 4-1. The Sixers, though, that's the one everyone is talking about. You get rid of Tobias. You go get Paul George. Paul George is a better version of Tobias Harris.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the Clippers are still minus 215, your favorites to procure. Paul George, he is an L.A. guy. The 76ers at plus 280, it appears that Morey has an obsession with getting George. They don't have anybody on the roster either right now with Philadelphia at plus 280, and the Thunder are 4-1. Okay, little basketball, we're going back to the hockey. Aaron Halterman's next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. And when you think about the Sharp Money family, and you think about Even Keeled, you think about Aaron Halterman, RacingDudes.com. And that's why we're going to talk to Aaron here. Now, the group was a very dark place last night. Like, Progressive Guest Line brings you Mr. Halterman. Again, we are big-time Panthers fans with the family. We knew the Panthers, even strength, much better team than the Oilers. And essentially what we're doing, because we're super sharp, is we're fading all those donks that are just betting on the Oilers and Stuart Skinner because your boy Connor McDavid is there and also Mr. Draisaitl. However, it took an interesting turn. Game four, Aaron, it's almost like you and I said during the break, you let them have one, 8-1, go Canada, pat them on their little heads, and we go back and we hoist the cup in game five down in Florida where the cup belongs. And then yesterday happened, and it was a 5-3 rout, and I say rout because, let's be fair, the Oilers dominated in game five, and right now the vibes are horrendous.
I feel like I'm walking into a train wreck a little bit. You know, I'm sitting on my couch, just enjoying a Wednesday. Dustin calls me, says, "Hey, emergency, we need you on the show." So look, I guess, you know, my job here is to kind of circle the wagons a little bit, guys. And look, here's the deal. Game four, you had it right. Don't care. You know, whatever. That happens sometimes. We saw that in the NBA side of things, right? The team down 3-0 gets a game. Good job. Last night was really concerning. It was for Panthers backers, for sure. I hated how they came out. I really thought we'd see a 10-minute flurry right out of the gates. We didn't see that. They didn't look like they were into it. Give up an early shorthanded goal. Kind of started to get back into it a little bit. And I thought, all right, we're still going to be okay. All of a sudden, it's 2-0. And then Bobrovsky gives up a terrible third goal to McDavid. I know Connor McDavid's great. He's unbelievable. But you have to stop like a wicked angle looking goal. I mean, that was terrible. And all of a sudden, yeah, I mean, I went from we're definitely going to see the Stanley Cup tonight to I'm not panicked at all, but I'm a little concerned at this moment.
Now, on a scale, and it's a special scale for you, on a scale of 1 to 10, eight. Where's the concern level?
Certainly not a 10. I will say that. I'm not at a 10. Look, I think it's still got to be like a 4 or 5. And the reason I say that, this Florida Panther team, they travel well. Their game, their style of game travels really well. So I'm not overly concerned. I know Edmonton's going to be nuts. I'm not overly concerned about having to go back on the road. I think we're good there. And also, I think a lot of the Florida problems are very easily correctable. Stop getting stupid penalties. That would be a great start. You were the best team 5-on-5. Even in that disaster of a game last night, you were the best team 5-on-5. If you're Florida, keep it there. And then also, I know your power play sucks right now. Try not to let the other team score while you're on the power play. That should be your only goal. If you knock out the shorthanded goals and you knock out the stupid penalties and limit to those to just maybe 2 or 3, they're going to win game six. I have no doubt in my mind. The doubt that creeps in is, man, the shorthanded thing is just ridiculous. And it's like, come on, guys, you've got to be able to put that together. And the other thing that I'm starting to get a little worried about is Bravosky. And look, I'm not saying he's a bad goalie. I never really viewed him as like this unbelievable goalie. And then all of a sudden, just very good is how I would have labeled him, right? All of a sudden, the first two and a half, three games of the series, he was out of this world. Games 4 and 5, guys, the one thing that's like, oh, man, that is a little worrisome. He has not been sharp in either one of these games.
No, he was, 4 goals through 3, and now it's just been a flood, a cavalcade, just an avalanche. Yeah. And Bobrovsky, and the problem is that specific position is where once a goalie loses confidence and is shook, it starts to be concerning. So, Bobrovsky is certainly, for Panther backers, obviously something to be concerned about. How much of the blame do you take? And I ask you that because Mr. Puck line, where, look, when it's 1-0, I'm just praying for a win. When it's 2-0, I'm literally just praying for a win. When it's 3-0, we're losing the game. But throughout the process, you know, this is a family. I've got your back. I want to win by 2 goals here. But it's almost like even if the Panthers hoist the cup and win by a goal, I don't know how excited you are. So how much of the blame do you take here?
None. That's totally not accurate at all, because I've got the Panthers at 10-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So look, I mean, fair. I'm not going to get greedy. When they got down 2-0, I was like, all right, boys, just win. Like this plus 180, which was, I thought, money in the bank. And, you know, it's so embarrassing to say those things after you see him kind of get blown out, like you said. But before that game started, I really thought goal and half plus 180, let's lay it. I think it's going to work. But again, when they got down 2-0, I was like, okay, look, let's just win the game. I do have the future wager. I'll sacrifice for the group more than anything else, Patrick. I will sacrifice myself for that. But look, even when it was 3-1 and Matthew Tkachuk got that goal and to make it 3-1, I still felt like the Panthers were going to win the game, guys. And then all of a sudden it's 4-1 before you can even think. And it's like, well, this is just awful. And again, you got to stay out of the penalty box. You just absolutely have to.
Yeah, it was a quick answer by the Oilers to shut down any momentum on the Panthers' ice. You know what is fascinating? So I'm looking at Friday and game 6. The Edmonton is minus 125. I think that number might continue to climb a little bit here, and the Panthers are plus 105. Here's what's fascinating. We don't want to see it, but if we see a game 7, the pricing in game 7 is going to be fascinating, because that's 3 straight wins on a publicly backed team because of McDavid. And if we go back to Florida, who closed 160, I can guarantee you it's not going to be 162 in game 7. I'm just throwing it out there for the three of us. What do you guys think the pricing will be in game 7 if the Oilers force it?
Minus 120 maybe on Florida. Is that is that too much?
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though Florida would be at home, it feels like all the pressure is on them. I think it might be a coin flip.
It's almost like the pressure, in a weird way, because they've got a game. The pressure is on the Oilers Friday night,
sure.
But the pressure, Halterman, completely shifts if there is a game 7 and McDavid's going back down to Florida. It completely shifts onto the Panthers in game 7.
If Florida loses game 6, I am an all-out panic at that time because of what you guys said. I'm serious. And listen, you said at the beginning, I'm an even-keel guy, and I am. But if they lose game 6, I'm at an all-out panic, because you're right. That pressure of blowing that lead and how intense that's going to be and how they're going to go down in history as just, you know, I heard you guys earlier, I don't know if it's this week or last week, talk about choking. Everybody's going to talk about choking and talk about the Florida Panthers and how they choked this one away, and they know it. And oh, by the way, one of the greatest players to ever play this game's on the other side and can go create a goal early and get you down. And then all of a sudden you're looking around going, we were up 3-0. Now it's 3-3 and we're down 1-0 in this game. And it's just going to get tighter and tighter and tighter. So I have confidence that the Florida Panthers are going to go win game 6. But if they lose game 6, I am at an all-out panic for game 7.
So it'd be a 10 if yes. We're going back to Florida for game 7?
Yes. Yes, I confirm. Yes, it would be a 10.
And just as an aside, we probably should mention that McDavid was out there toying with kids last night, the way he was skating.
It was a monster game from him. It was a game. Like, there's great players, and then there's elite players. And you start watching him, and it's like, this guy is on a different planet. But look, the whole deal of it is you've got to not let him get in that zone. And last night he was in the zone. I mean, it's almost, you know, if you're a basketball fan, it's a guy that just gets hot and he can't miss. You've seen Kobe and Michael Jordan do it over the years. You know, they just get in a zone and it's like, we got 2-3 guys on him and we can't stop him. And that's what McDavid was. Every time he was out there, if he didn't score, he was creating, you know, whether it be a goal or a scoring chance, you know, almost every time. And they had no answer for him, and that is terrifying, because the Panthers have a lot of great players. They don't have a player like that, and nobody.
No,
really, nobody.
No.
No.
That is. No. Yeah. So, I guess the good news is you mentioned, along with Dallas, the best road team in hockey this year, the Panthers. They did come back from down 3-1 against Boston last year, so kind of have it in them. And we get a plus price on Friday on the Panthers. How about that?
Hey, that's 3 for 3, right? And the last thing I'll say, guys, it's really tough, and I've heard this from a lot of hockey players. It's, believe it or not, it's harder to win the Stanley Cup at home because you've got so many outside distractions, right? And that could have been what happened. They're going to go on the road. There's no party waiting for them at Edmonton, right? They're going to fly back. They don't have to take care of their families, get them tickets, anything like that. I think they'll be more relaxed for this game. I really believe that.
Okay, I think I feel better. I don't think I feel better.
No.
We shall see. Mr. Halterman, Racing Dudes. It was an emergency. We had to have it. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Palm's next.